going to, in our School of Prophecy Part 4, we're actually on lesson number 5 this morning. And I was going to have 5 lessons, but I added one more because I want to give you a prophetic word to end with. So I have a lesson 6 next week. And we're going to talk about the prophetic move of God, the prophesied move of God in the last days. Thank God that the devil's busy, but God is busier. So I want to leave you on a very encouraging note as we conclude School of Prophecy Part 4. I would encourage you to go to the church site or on the church app. You can download all of the syllabus notes for all of the seminars. School of Prophecy Part 1, 2, 3, and 4. And you can have all of those right there at your disposal to study those, pray over those, help God, help the Word of God to, or help yourself in the Word of God, you know, to know what's going on in our world today. So let's get started. We got a lot of ground to cover and a very short amount of time to do it in. I want to start with a verse of Scripture that's found in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. He says, "So we have the prophetic word made more certain. You do well to pay close attention to it, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the light breaks through the gloom and the morning star arises in your hearts." What a great verse. The Apostle Peter is telling us that the prophetic word of God is a certainty. It is going to be fulfilled. No demon in hell can stop it. So he gives us hope and expectation, because the coming of the Lord is the bright and morning star. He is the one who's going to shine unto the perfect day. And I want to be ready for that. I want to point out what he says, that you would do well to pay close attention to the prophetic word. Pay close attention to it. Jesus also instructed us in that regard. Mark's Gospel chapter 13, he said, "Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming." Of course, he's referring to himself. He says he may come in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. My friends, I want to be watching. I don't want to be caught sleeping. Do you? There's going to be many people that are caught sleeping. Many are sleeping right now, even as I preach this message. I don't want to be in that category. I want to be alive unto God, burning brightly for Jesus Christ, anticipating the coming of the Lord, and looking forward to eternity with God forever and ever. So I want to give you our main syllabus outline today. We only have one main heading, just one. That main heading is the prophetic word of God. In this syllabus outline today, I want to give you 7 prophecies of the last days. 7 key things. There's many more that I could have added to this, but I wanted to keep it as concise as possible. So I'm going to give you 7 today. 7 prophecies of the last days. So here's number 1. The gospel will be preached worldwide. Jesus said, Matthew 24:14, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." There are 195 countries in the world. 54 countries in Africa, 48 in Asia, 44 in Europe, 33 in Latin America and the Caribbean, 14 in Oceania, and 2 in North America. The present world population is 7.65 billion. That's a lot of people. And there's a lot of people in that number that have never heard the message of the gospel, have never heard the name of Jesus Christ. That's why he gave us the Great Commission, that we must go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. At the time of Christ, in the New Testament, it is estimated that the present, at that time, that the population of that present time, that the world population was around 300 million. My, how times have changed 7.65 billion people. That's a lot of people that need to hear the message of the gospel. So Jesus said it, and he gave us the Great Commission, that we must go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And there are 7.65 billion people that can be impacted for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's move on. Number two. Got seven to give you. Here's number two. There will be an increase of evil and wickedness that is unprecedented. And I know all of us could say, boy, have we seen that. Are we seeing that even now as we speak? I mean, the world seems to have lost its mind. Jesus told us the reason for it in Matthew 24, 12. He says, because lawlessness will abound. Lawlessness. Rejection of the authority of God. Rejection of authority structures ordained by God. He says, because lawlessness will abound, the love of many people will grow cold. People will be filled with anger, filled with hatred, deep-seated bitterness. And the love of many, he said, will grow cold. Listen to what Jude says in verse 17 to 19. He says, but as for you, beloved, remember the prophetic words. What did Peter say? We have the prophetic word made more certain. You would do well to pay close attention to it. Jude says, but as for you, beloved, speaking to believers, remember the prophetic words spoken by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They used to say to you, in the last days, there will be scoffers, those who will follow their own ungodly passions. He says in verse 19, these are the ones who are agitators, causing divisions, people filled with anger, people filled with hatred. As Jesus said, you know, the love of many, lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. He goes on and he says, these are worldly-minded people, secular people, unspiritual people, carnal people. They live based upon their flesh. They are merely sensual, unsaved people, and they are totally devoid of the Holy Spirit. They don't have life in them. What they have in them, my friends, is the power of demons, the authority of Satan. That is the spirit. Paul alluded to it in Ephesians chapter 2. He said, the people in this world that don't know God, he said, you one time were following that course, you are under the influence of that demonic spirit. The Apostle John said in the first epistle of John, he said, the entire population of the world is lying in the power and the authority of the wicked one, of Satan himself. So, I mean, man, you know, that tells us right there, you know, seven prophecies of the last days. Number two, an increase of evil and wickedness that is unprecedented. So he said there would be scoffers or mockers. The word scoffers means one who scoffs at, one who makes fun of, one who makes sport of other people or of things. So we would see people in the world that would make fun of the church, would make fun of born-again believers. They would make sport of the name of Jesus. My friends, we are seeing that unfold before our very eyes. Shouldn't surprise us. It's a fulfillment of prophecy. It tells us that the time is getting close. Are you ready? I want to make sure that I'm ready. Let me give you number three. We got seven. Atheism and the rejection of truth will be widespread. Psalm 53:1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, and they have done abominable iniquity. There is none who does good. There has never been a stronger atheistic movement in America than what we are seeing today. I mean, this nation is full of atheists. I love what one evangelist said. You know, there's a lot of atheists in the world that say they don't believe in God, but God doesn't believe in atheists. I kind of like that because I believe deep down in everybody's heart, there's always that wondering, am I right? Is my calculations right? But the Bible says the fool, it's the fool who has said in his heart, there is no God. The Apostle Paul described what happens in society when people reject truth and they will not acknowledge God's authority. He says in Romans 1:21, they become vain in their imaginations. Listen to this. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. And their foolish heart was darkened. So there would be a generation, there would be people that had an understanding of God, had a concept of God, but He says that they would be very unthankful. And He says that they would become vain because they reject. They reject God, they reject the authority of God. So He said they would become vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart would be darkened. So two important words here, and this is the definition of these two words, the word vain and the word imagination, taken from Vine's dictionary of biblical words. And the word vain is from this Greek word that means to become perverse. Are we in a generation that is perverse? More than we've ever seen. It means to become perverse, to get off the right path, and to follow a foolish one. My friends, we are seeing that in the day in which we are living. Fulfillment of Bible prophecy. It should not surprise us. The second word is the word imagination. It comes from this Greek word that means to have the mind filled with thought processes that are objectionable. So in other words, the mind, you know, vain imaginations, you know, that the mind would become so perverse in its thought processes, it would become so wicked that it would literally invent evil in its mind. Think about that. That is a scary thought, but that is exactly what we see happening in the world in which we are living. Shouldn't surprise us, prophesied in the Word of God, telling us that the time is getting close. Here's the fourth one. We got seven, the development of a global economy. Globalization is the central reality of our time. This is the definition, or this is actually a quote. I'm going to give you the definition in just a minute. This is a quote from former U.S. President Bill Clinton in his State of the Union speech, January 2000. This is what he says, globalization is the central reality of our time. It is coming and you can't stop it. Man, think about that. He said, it is coming and you can't stop it. You know, that might give you a little understanding into the controversy of President Donald Trump. Because there's no doubt that Donald Trump has by far been probably the most controversial president that the United States has ever seen. Regardless of what you think about him, regardless of what your opinion is about him, you know, this is why he is hated so much, is because Donald Trump does not endorse the concept of globalism. So he's upset people. And you know what it all means? Because it means money. You know, whenever money is involved, people get upset. Now, I only say that not to be political, but I say that to give you some insight into what's going on in our world. This man's bucking the system, and they don't like it because he is disrupting the spirit of globalization. Here, my friend, is the definition of globalization. It is the process of interaction and integration among the people, companies, and governments of different nations. A process driven by international trade and investment, and aided by, listen to this, information technology. Yes, globalization. It is the system of the Antichrist. Listen to what Revelation chapter 13 says, verse 16 and 17. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no man may buy or sell except one that has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Now, we all have to wear a mask right now, right? Are we getting used to it? Absolutely we are. I believe it's a precursor. Is there a virus? Yes, absolutely there is. Is it being politicized? Is it being used to prepare people? No doubt about it. You can't go into a store and make a purchase unless you have a mask on. Think about it, my friends. When is it going to translate to a chip in the skin? We've already seen the technology for that. When will that translate into a mark? My friends, it's going to happen. It's coming. It's the Antichrist system. It's prophesied in the Word of God. The development of a global economy. Let me move on because number five is closely related to it. The development of a world government. The Apostle John envisioned a leader, the Antichrist, who would have authority over all of the world. And he would be worshipped by the people of the world. Listen to what this says in Revelation 13. Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and on his horns ten crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, his mouth like the mouth of a lion, and the dragon, that's the devil, gave him his power, his throne, and his authority. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. Miracles are going to happen in the tribulation period, demonic miracles. He goes on and he says, and all the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast. They worshiped the devil. Wow, can you believe this? And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? They worship the Antichrist as well. Who's able to make war with him? He was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And he was given authority to continue for 42 months. Last half of the tribulation period. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. All, listen to this, all who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. My friends, the biggest question that every human being must answer, do I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that my name is written in the Lamb's book of life? Because, my friend, if it's not, then you don't have eternal life. All who dwell on the earth will worship the Antichrist, whose names are not written in the book of life. And the Bible tells us that will result in eternal damnation. Wow, I don't have time to expound on all of this. So much to talk about here today. And man, we are seeing it unfold before our very eyes. I mean, it is amazing how the Word of God is so accurate. Well, let me move on. We got seven. Here's number six. Another prophecy of the last days. An increase in terrorism. Jesus said this. Luke 21:9. He says, but when you hear of wars and commotions, do not be terrified. Wars and commotions. He said, for these things must come to pass first, but the end will not come immediately. Then in Luke 21:9 in the Amplified Bible, he says, when you hear of wars and disturbances, listen to this, civil unrest. Is there civil unrest? Yes, not only in the United States of America, it's around the world. I mean, the world is very unstable. The Word of God prophesied all of it. He said, when you hear of wars and disturbances, civil unrest, revolts, uprisings, Jesus said it, but listen to what he says. Do not panic. Hallelujah. For these things must take place, but the end will not come immediately. Two important words here, the word commotions and the word terrified. Again, in Vine's dictionary, expository dictionary of biblical words, two Greek words, the Greek word for commotions, it means an unsettled condition, instability, listen to this, Instability has a result of societal, political, or militaristic nature. Wow. How accurate is that? My friends, we are in it. And people are sleeping. They are sleeping. Don't be asleep. Get on fire for God. Sell out to Jesus Christ. He sold out for you. He went to the cross to die for your sins. Sell out to Him. Don't live for this world. Live for the kingdom of God. Live for eternity, my friends, because it's all going to wrap up, and it's going to wrap up soon. The word terrified. He says, do not panic or do not be terrified. It means to produce extreme fright as the result of something that is alarming. So we are seeing an increase in terrorism. We have seen it around the world. Of course, immediately we think of terrorism. When we hear the word terrorism, we think of 9/11. But my friends, I didn't have time to list all of these statistics, but you would be shaken by the amount of terrorist activity just within the last 5 years that has been recorded through news agencies. You would be shaken by the amount of foiled terrorist activities, plots and schemes that have been diffused. Thank God that they were. But my friends, it's fulfillment of the prophetic word of God. Let me give you the seventh and final one. The last days, prophecies of the last days. Here's number seven. There will be an occultic surge. Man, I wish I had time to really talk about this one. This could be a whole series right here. An occultic surge. Listen to what Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:13. He said, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Let's point out that word, seducers. Remember, Jesus said that because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Paul tells Timothy, but evil men and seducers, they shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. All right, so here is the Greek word for seducers. It means an imposter or a wizard, one who uses sorcery, magic, and spells. Paul told Timothy that a worldwide impact of sorcery and witchcraft would come upon all segments of society. Drug usage would be a conduit to connect people to occultic power in the last days. That brings us back to the era of the 60s. Mind-expanding drugs. Timothy Leary, you know, and all of the music of the 60s. My friends, listen to what this says in Revelation 18:23. He says, the light of a lamp shall not shine in you anymore. He was talking about the spirit of Babylon. Did one of the lessons on it. That's what he's talking about. The light of a lamp shall not shine in you anymore, and the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall not be heard in you anymore. For your merchants were the great men of the earth, but by your sorceries all the nations were deceived. The word sorceries is the Greek word pharmakeia, from which we get the word, the English word pharmaceutical, pharmacy, drugs. This is the definition, the use of drugs, spells, and incantations to make an appeal to occult powers through chance, charms, and amulets, ornaments, which is simply ornaments or jewelry, to gain power. My friends, the last days would see an occultic surge. There's so much to say about this one. So much to expound upon. But we are seeing it before our very eyes. You know, think of the drug problems today. Think of the usage of drugs. Think of what the scripture is telling us of how drugs connect people to a demonic realm, connects people to a demonic world. That's why addiction is so hard for people to break. It's not just you know, a habit. It's not just a drug. It's not just something that that controls them. It goes much deeper than that. It connects them to the occultic world. It connects them to the demonic world. That's why it is so hard to break. That's why it needs the power of God. That's why it needs the gospel. It needs the power of the Holy Spirit. My friends, we are seeing it today, the occultic surge. I'm going to end with this. Revelation 1:1. It says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants things which must shortly take place. I've given you seven things. I could have given you probably 25 real easy, but we wouldn't have time to expound on all of those. But he said, God gave him to show his servants things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John. And then we read this in Revelation 1, 7 to 8. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. Jesus said, I am Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. My friends, the Bible says he's coming with clouds. Are you ready to meet him? Do you know him? I'm not asking you, do you know about him? I'm not asking you if you attend church. There's a lot of people that attend church and will split hell wide open. Listen, none of those things. Church doesn't save anybody. Church is simply what God uses to connect us to like-minded believers. It's the vehicle that God uses to keep us strong. Put us under the preaching and teaching of the gospel. Church can't save anybody. Only one thing can save you, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed at the cross. Do you know him? I'm not asking, do you know about him? Do you know him? Are you right with him? If he were to call it in today, if the trumpet were to sound today, do you have the assurance that you're ready to go? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you would go to meet the Lord? If not, my friend, I would encourage you right now that you can have saving faith. You can put your faith and your confidence in Jesus Christ. And I want to pray for you right now. Father, I pray for every lost person who may be hearing this message today, this teaching today. God, I pray the convicting power of the Holy Spirit upon them right now. God, that you would reveal to them their lost condition, and they would cry out to you for salvation. For whosoever, Romans 10:13, shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God, I pray they will call out to you right now. And I want to pray for every believer, Lord, who may be misplaced. Their priorities are out of line. Father God, they are not on fire for you. I pray you would convict them right now. I pray, Father God, you would fill them with your Holy Spirit. I pray, Father God, in the days ahead, that you will set them on fire. Use them as a vessel for Jesus Christ. And I give you the praise and the glory and the honor forever and ever in Jesus' name. That's it, my friends. God bless you. We love you, each and every one of you. We are praying for you, believing God for you, and we are living in intimacy that Jesus is coming soon. Thanks for joining us. Come be with us in a service, and we look to see you soon in Jesus' name.